Apostle gave us the word, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. So, our objective as a church, as individuals, is to, in every situation, allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Now, what's so wonderful about that? What's so wonderful is that the Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 11th verse, it says, no man knows what that man is thinking, but the Spirit that is within him. And they said, the Holy Spirit knows what God is thinking because he's the very Spirit of God. And so essentially, when you let the Holy Spirit have his way, you're letting God have his way. When you let the Holy Spirit have his way, you have access to the thoughts of God. Thursday night at prayer, I was praying and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That was for me. Spoke to me. But I thought it'd be good to share with you what he said to me. It was four statements that literally empowered me. And I hope it empowers you. He said, I have given you time. I have given you a voice. I have given you my word. Now you have to choose what to do with it. I've given you time. I've given you a voice. I've given you my word. Now, when you write, if you're writing it down, when you get to that point, you say, I've given you my word. I got to give it to you exactly how he gave it to me. So it'll have the same effect. I want you to capitalize the M in my. My word. Meaning God has given us his word. Now you have to choose what to do with it. God has given you time. What are you doing with that time? God has given you a voice. What are you doing with that voice? God has given you his word. What are you doing with his word? It's up to you. Turn to Genesis, the second chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we make this transition from the pastoral model of the church to the apostolic model of the church, a shift is being made in each one of us. God has always intended us and planned for us to be in the Garden of Eden. Now, I don't want you to think about a geographical location. I want you to think about position. Garden of Eden was more of a place of position than a place of geography. In Genesis, the second chapter, the 16th verse, And the Lord God commanded the man. And the Lord God did what?
Commanded.
Who?
Commanded.
Now, I need you to know something here. I need you to see something. I need you to recognize this. I need you to embrace this. There was no intermediary. And the Lord God commanded, and then he didn't say the Lord, the Bible didn't say the Lord God commanded a man. It said the Lord God commanded the man, meaning specific. He was talking to Adam. And there was no intermediary. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this, all right? There was no intermediary, all right? Watch this. Go with me to Genesis, the third chapter. Look at the 8th verse. And they, meaning Adam and Eve, heard the voice of God. Heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Notice again, there is no intermediary. Adam and Eve, the Bible said, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the wilderness. I get two things from that. Number one, that God was looking to spend time with them. God was longing to spend time with them. Now notice something. Standing on the foundation of Galatians 3:13, I want you to realize, and I'm going to go to Galatians 3:13 in a minute. I want you to realize that there was no apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. The very thing that separated them from the voice and the presence of God was their disobedience. So in Galatians 3:13, turn there. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That word redeem, to be put back in a formal position. So, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection put us back in a certain position. What position did he put us back in? A position of being able to be in the presence of God. I'm talking about you. In the presence of God without needing anybody else. Now, Jesus, the same person who died on the cross for our sins, gave us gifts. See, the reason why it sounds like I'm going over a message I taught already, because I am. And the reason why is because Christmas morning, some people thought I was going to be talking about the manger. That's what they were looking for. And missing the shift that is happening in this church. And miss the shift that is happening in your life. The same Jesus that died and redeemed us from the curse of the law then gave us gifts in Ephesians 4. That's where the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher come into play to help us understand and reclaim our ability, not the right. Catch the difference. You've always had the right to be in the presence of God. Sin separated us. Jesus put us back in that position. So we always have the right, but some of us don't have the ability. So therefore, he gave gifts unto men to teach us that ability. So that you can be in the presence of God on your own. See, I need to eliminate, and I want to eliminate this, I want to destroy this pastoral model. This pastoral model had us focusing on the fivefold as if they have the answers for us. But they are there to teach us how to discover the answers for ourselves. Because remember, Adam was talking to God. God told Adam what to do. Adam was able to recognize God's voice. So if I have been redeemed from the curse of the law and put back in a form position, then I shouldn't have to wait on another man to hear the voice of God. Because if Adam, if the second Adam corrected the errors of the first Adam and put me like I'm the first Adam, then the first Adam was talking to God and hearing God for himself. So that means I should have the right to hear for myself. And guess what? Oh, I love this. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with your Bible knowledge. Because Adam ain't have no Bible knowledge and was hearing the voice of God. So watch this. It should be easier for us because we have a pattern to follow. It is the goal of this church to make you the home, to make you a covenant winner. That means covenant winner simply means that you're going to be able to, you can hear God, you can walk with God, you can move with God, right along with apostle. But that can't happen unless you think you can. Unless you think you can do it. And it's the enemy's job to get you to think that you can't. It's the enemy's job to get you to think that you can't operate like apostle. And you can. You have the right. You watch this now. Listen at me. You may not have the ability, but if you hang around long enough, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, meaning eventually. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I found the statement, Holy Spirit, have your way. But I found it in another form. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The 11th verse. Here's the Apostle Paul talking about spiritual gifts or supernatural gifts. There are 9 of them. But in verse 11, I found the statement, Holy Spirit, have your way, in another form. It says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to, I need you to say it, to every man severally as he wills. So what if I let the Holy Spirit have his way? We have to get to a point. We have to get to an understanding that the purpose of the fivefold is to make us efficient in the supernatural. The purpose of the fivefold is to get us to be to reach the fullness of Christ. Not be bound by limitations in this earth. Not to be bound by our genealogy. Not to be bound where we came from. Not to be bound by anything that's natural. All nine of these gifts can operate in you. Now, I grew up learning under the pastoral model until Apostle made this shift. So I learned about these gifts from a pastoral model. What I mean by that, I learned about these gifts from a place of you might not be able to operate in them because you might not be spiritual enough. So by the sound by what y'all just said, I'm not the only one thought like that. But we read here in 12 verse 1. Look at the first version of 12 chapter, same chapter. He said, the Apostle Paul writes and said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you. I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you not knowing. I would not have you not understanding. Look at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same. Who?
Spirit.
Same Spirit. What if I let the Holy Spirit have his way? All right, come on. Verse 5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, different ways they operate. But it's the same God which worketh, that statement there, which worketh, catch this statement, which worketh all in all. What was the Apostle Paul meaning? That all the gifts can work in all people. So this is why I need you to understand that when Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, he was putting us back in a position that God had already planned for us to be in. Being able to access everything that the Word of God makes available to us. Remember now, I've given you time. I've given you a voice. I've given you my word. Now it's up to you, your choice, what you're going to do with it. See, what's happening now, the responsibility for your life is now shifting. See, the pastoral model, the responsibility of your life was shift was up here. But in the apostolic model, the responsibility is shifting on you. Which empowers you. So you don't have to face challenges hopeless. You don't have to face challenges always needing somebody else. You don't have to face life thinking that you're going to have to get somebody else to pray for you. Because last I checked, Adam and Eve had nobody else to pray for them. Now, don't get me wrong. It's wonderful if you got somebody you can trust can pray for you. But it's just in case you don't. Jesus said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He didn't say three people. He didn't say three humans. Because last I checked, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So there is nothing that you cannot face and overcome. And it's the fivefold ministry's job to train you to do so. You may be seated. Now I'm going to endeavor throughout this year as apostle gives me opportunities. I want to go through these gifts. Because the pastoral model, now don't get me wrong, God moved through the pastoral model. He moved through the pastoral model. But he wasn't free to move like he wants to move. Oh, you know what the pastoral model is akin to? The pastoral model is akin to the monarchy. Now, for those who don't understand what I'm saying, is the children of Israel kept asking for a king because they saw everybody else with a king. And so God said, okay, they're asking for a king, I'm going to give them a king. But that didn't stop God from moving through that system. It wasn't his best. He did the best he could moving through that system because God told him what king to choose. When the first king started tripping, God say, I've rejected him. Saul, go anoint David. And God, watch this. God let that system roll until it played out. Let me tell you something. The pastoral model of the church is playing out. And the reason why it is playing out is because there is some darkness in this world that the pastoral model is not equipped to handle. That monarchy system that they wanted in the Old Testament, it ran into a wall that it couldn't handle and disintegrated. Why? The same reason the pastoral model is going to disintegrate is the same reason the monarchy system disintegrated. It's because it blocked people from going back to God's original plan, which is you can hear from God. You can communicate with God. You can move on God's behalf. Yes, sir. Look at verse 9. Now I probably won't cover them in biblical order. Because that ain't how God, it's just not how he talked to me. I mean, I was praying this week, didn't know I was going to be doing this Sunday. He was talking to me earlier in the week. And he started talking to me about the gift of faith or special faith. And begin to give me insight and understanding about that gift. Because, look, it's important for you to see, first of all, when I said that, some of y'all thought y'all can't operate in it. Some of you said, I don't even know what it is. I thought I had faith. Yes, you do have faith. But there are certain times when you let the Holy Spirit have his way. Yes. There are certain times where he will charge your faith. To cause you to do something that you wouldn't do under normal circumstances. I'm not talking about the fivefold faith being charged. I'm talking about your faith. And if you, the first verse says, how I would not have you ignorant or unaware that this is available to you. He said, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same, let me say it this way, Holy Spirit. So if you mean to tell me if I let the Holy Spirit have his way, this is available to me. Special faith is based on your right to hear from God and developed ability to hear from God. Special faith is based on your right to hear from God and your developed ability. Notice I said the word developed ability. Because in Genesis, in the third chapter, in the 8th verse, it says that they heard the voice of God, and then God came and asked him, Adam, where are you? That means that Adam and God had been spending time together consistently. And so God came looking for Adam this time, and Adam hid himself. So that means there was a development going on. There was a development between God and Adam. Watch this. With no intermediary. I've given you time. I've given you a voice. I've given you my word. What you gonna do with it? Your spiritual death is not hinged on apostle. Your ability to operate in all 9 of these gifts is not based on apostle. See, let me destroy this pastoral model thought process. Those 9 gifts are not confined to this church walk, to these church walls. They can function here, but this ain't the only place they function. I'm not always in these 4 walls. You're not always in these 4 walls. You're not always in front of that screen, those of you watching online. You're moving about. And the Bible says he will dispense the gifts as he wills. It didn't say he was going to do it while you was here in church. And he said he'd to all men. Let me show you something. Let me destroy this pastoral model thought process. Look at verse, and I'm going to come back to my definitions. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 7th verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit. So that means if I let the Spirit have his way, there ought to be some manifestations. If I allow the Holy Spirit to have it, let me say it like this. If I allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in my life, there ought to be some manifestations of these gifts in my life. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Now watch this. That last word breaks the back of the pastoral model. It's given to every man to profit with all, or to profit with everyone. So the first thing you're going to have to do if you want these gifts to operate in your life, if you want, and we specifically talking about special faith this morning, you want these gifts to operate in your life, you're going to have to get out of thinking these gifts is just there to solve your problems. Oh, I needed to say that because special faith is not about the spectacular. Special faith is not about doing the spectacular. It's about obeying the spectacular. What I mean by that, it's not about your special faith don't focus on the outcome. See, the reason why it seems like special faith focuses on the outcome or the spectacular is because we read instances or we hear testimonies of the results of somebody walking in special faith. But special faith is not focused on the outcome. Special faith is focused on God's voice. Special faith is focusing on accomplishing what God wants. Special faith or the gift of faith coincides with moments in time. So you're not going to always operate in this, but there's going to come a time in your life and a moment of time in your life where you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to give you special faith to accomplish what God has called you to do. All right. The gift of faith or special faith is when you hear God's voice and do it without needing backup or confirmation or affirmation from man. Special faith, I'm going to read it again. Special faith, the gift of faith or special faith is when you hear God's voice and do it without needing backup or confirmation or affirmation from man. See, special faith, once again, special faith is not about the size of the task. Because each one of us are on different levels. So because we're on different levels, sometimes the Holy Spirit going to have to come charge our faith to get us to the next level. So it's not about the size of the task. It's about you having that supernatural courage to do what God has told you to do when nobody else thinks you ought to do it. The having the Holy Spirit charge your courage to accomplish something when everybody else said, no, I wouldn't do that if I was you. But because of your developed ability to hear from God, you do it anyway. And because of that, that's what produced the spectacular outcome. See, special faith is not focused on the outcome. It's focused on accomplishing what God wants.